From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. Next week marks the opening of the 74th session of the UN General Assembly. As is the custom, this year's session in New York will open with a general debate with the participation of the heads of state or foreign ministers of more than 190 nations around the world. The debate will open on September 24th and run until October 1st. On Tuesday, the UN Deputy Secretary General Amina J. Mohammed and the UN Secretary General's Special Envoy for the 2019 Climate Summit, Alfonso de Alba, held a press briefing at UN headquarters in New York, in which they detail the work before this year's General Assembly, and we bring you as much of that as time will allow.
We're just 6 days now away from the Climate Action Summit. It kicks off a week of critical meetings for people, for planet, for prosperity, and most importantly, for peace. So let's start. Right at the moment, we have a very long way from where we need to be on climate action. That's very clear, and on the broader transformation that's required to achieve the Sustainable Development Goals. Every day we're seeing climate emergencies get worse. We're also seeing global hunger on the rise, entrenched inequalities, and massive youth unemployment. So the five summits that we will have at the United Nations next week, what we're trying to say is very simple. It's time to ratchet up the action that we need to have at the country level. People, industries, and governments are moving. They've been engaging over the last 4 years, and for that, we know that we're on track. But we do need to kick that movement to a much higher gear if we're to reach the goals that are being outlined by science in the case of climate, and of course by the data that really shows how much we have to do on poverty and the other goals of the SDGs. The Climate Action Summit is where the ideas will become concrete plans, and we've had many of those over the past year. This will boost climate action at the country level, but it'll only work if everyone gets on board. We need governments, we need businesses, people to join us everywhere on the initiative so that we have impact at the scale that we need, moving beyond the pilots, and this is going to be crucial. The summit we see is a slingshot to 2020, when the COP will in fact first take the targets that have been agreed to ramp up our national action plans for climate action on the Paris Agreement. And today what I'd like to do is to give an overview of the types of initiatives that you can expect. To mention a few, the summit will present practical and new measures to, one, speed up the transition from coal to clean energy and to cut the pollution that is harming our health. The second, protect nature, but also unlock the potential of nature to deliver on climate solutions. The third, create cleaner, greener ways to work and to move. Speed up the transition in key sectors from grey to green economies. Safeguard people from the impacts of climate change already being felt right now. And help make sure that we leave no one behind. The transition must be ramped up now, and it must be fair to include everyone. When the Secretary General announced the summit, he said that only the boldest and most transformative actions would make the stage at the General Assembly. There's a huge number of excellent ideas that have been proposed that would be announced throughout the weekend, starting from the Youth Summit on Saturday. Every bit of warming matters, so every bit of climate action is key. The Secretary General has also said that only those countries that bring the boldest, courageous action and ambition will find a place on the stage on Monday. And that's been tough because we know that in different contexts there are many, many challenges. It is complex. So we will see on Monday who's stepping up. We will see what climate leadership looks like. Importantly, the summit will show the progress so far towards a carbon neutral future. On the topic of leadership, let me say a few words about coal. We know that the transition of coal is not a one-size-fits-all. It is complex. In many countries, renewables are already cheaper than coal, and the transition is well underway. In other countries, the transition needs more support and, in particular, funding options for renewables. It's not enough that we stop funding coal, and funding must be actively moved towards making renewables possible. So there is a tension there that we need to pay specific attention to. We are, however, realistic. no one can click their fingers and create a renewable grid overnight, particularly in a developing country that has so many competing demands. But we are also determined that there are over 100 coal plants in the pipeline today, and emissions are still rising. So let's be clear that the pathway is a serious threat to human survival, the pathway that we follow now. It's why the Secretary General has been so blunt in his calls for no new coal plants from 2020 onwards. The stakes are much too high for us to be politically safe here, and they're certainly too high to give up because the road ahead is quite long. Before handing over to our special envoy, Luis Alfonso, let me make four quick points on the other summits that are taking place. I think it's really important that this year actually frames for us some of the key issues, and it is the first time that we will be taking stock of the SDGs, the 2030 Agenda. The centrality of the 2030 Agenda will be discussed this week. It is a common thread across all of the five summits, in fact, including in the debates that we will have. On Tuesday and Wednesday, government partners will identify what it will take to end poverty by 2030 and to transition to inclusive economies that deliver for that, so taking stock of the SDGs. We will also look at specific aspects of the 2030 Agenda through the meetings on universal health coverage, financing for development, and the situation of our small island developing states, those that are on the front line of the climate emergency. Second, a key message you'll hear again and again is that we need to get more resources flowing to support sustainable development. It does mean, amongst other things, clamping down on illicit flows, reshaping the global financial system, and creating better environments to attract investments for sustainable development. Third, there'll be a major focus on inclusion, on reaching the marginalized and those left behind. And here again, there'll be a focus on those who stand to lose the most from climate change, those who are living in poverty, those who are denied access to basic services, those who are discriminated against, and those who are simply just not benefiting from globalization. Finally, over the course of the week, you'll also hear a lot about the decade of action for delivery, and that's delivery on the whole SDG Agenda 2030. We're talking about it here in the final decade and the achievement that we need to see in the SDGs. It is a make or break for that decade. The objective of the week is to further extend to the ranks of the global movement for sustainable development and to engage the world's young people and to better direct that movement to actions that will have the greatest impact, again, at the country level. If we do this over the next 10 years, we can achieve the goals, we can avert the worst impacts of climate change and transitions to societies and economy that deliver for people and planet alike. It's now my hand over to our special envoy, Luis.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Deputy Secretary General. Good afternoon to all of you. Let me just compliment by underlining the importance of the events that are going to be taking place on the weekend and not only on Monday. But let me also start by thanking all the individuals and organizations that have contributed to build this, the initiatives that we will be able to showcase both on the weekend and on Monday. As you know, that we have been working on a program that combines those initiatives, multi-stakeholder initiatives, also with the national presentation of plans. And the overall result is going to be a report of the Secretary General on which we will be able to reflect all the initiatives that have been presented during the weekend and the Monday in a consolidated report that is going to be presented to the next COP. In that sense, let me also emphasize that we are very much working already on the day after the summit and the follow-up that will be necessary for those actions to become concrete in the coming days and weeks. Let me also highlight the importance for you to follow the events, since all events in the weekend and on Monday are going to be open to the press, and I think that a number of them are going to be very substantive. Let me start with the summit of the youth that is going to be organized, as you know, along the Saturday. We will have a number of events organized by the youth and a number of interactions with different stakeholders. All the coalitions that have been organized since the beginning of the year have also developed a program of activities. The program of those activities have already been released. It's also available at the webpage. You can consult the different events, and that, as you will be able to see, that will conclude in the afternoon of Sunday with a report to the Secretary General on the activities of the coalitions. Let me also announce that tomorrow the UNFCCC together with the UNDP are going to provide additional information on specific initiatives and the work that they have been undertaking in support of the member states to be able to scale and upgrade their national determined contribution that will need to be presented next year. I think I can stop here and obviously encourage you to attend all those meetings. Certainly, we will be able to provide additional information on the detailed program of activities of the Monday, most likely by the end of this week.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. We'll take some questions now. Evelyn?
Thank you very much for the briefing. Evelyn Leopold, on behalf of the United Nations Correspondent Association. I have two questions. First for Ms. Mohammed. When you calculate the SDGs, how much do the developing countries who are involved in conflict pull down your final analysis of it? What role do they play? And then on climate change, what role do the fires of the Amazon have? How much of a discussion will that be, since the president of Brazil seems to spend a lot of his time with vicious attacks on Michel Bachelet? And then on behalf of a lot of us in the press, you have a lot, too many events. They don't write themselves. If everything is an issue, then nothing is an issue.
Please.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much, Evelyn. I think, of course, there are many issues, and one of the things that we worked on together with member states right at the beginning was to recognize that with five summits plus a debate, how do we make sense out of all of this for heads of state who come and have to be focused on what they take away and what they share with us? Every one of these comes under the rubric of the Sustainable Development Agenda, the health summit, the climate, financing, and so what we've done is to try to sequence and thread those summits through the whole week, and we do end up with the most vulnerable. So there is, as you say, start with climate, and those that are on the front line, you end up with there. So there is a storyline, there is a narrative there that we think from the decade of action that takes profit of harvesting what we've done on health, on finance, on the SDGs. We will see that. How much is this a challenge for countries in conflict? It's a huge challenge, and there are many of them, and this is becoming one that is cross-border. So no matter what you do in a country, a part of it in conflict will pull down other indices. It exacerbates what has to happen in other countries. The Sahel, for instance, we are losing development gains in countries like Mali, and we have to put more into it. But that's just not Mali alone. There are 5, 6, 7 countries that are touched by this. So it plays a very big role, and that's why it's so important for us to take the context into consideration and to do a lot more thinking about the cross-pillar work that we need to do. The reforms play to this, that we are looking at peace and security and development, the nexus between the two, but also the nexus between climate and development as well. So it does make a difference, but it is something that we're working on and not treating them in silos. On the Amazon, right from the very beginning, our country offices have been fully engaged with the Brazilian government to continue to support their initiatives to try to deal with this challenge. Yes, there are many other dimensions which you see in the press today, but I think our focus is on trying to deal with those challenges and to make sure indigenous people and those that have rights, and that climate action itself is geared towards particular challenges of that country. You will hear and certainly see the discussions take place. on the Amazon. I think that this is something that for everyone is of concern, as it would be in the DRC, that last bastion of where we also see that the rainforest there and many others.
Betul, and then Sherwood.
Thank you. Two questions on the climate summit. I was wondering if the Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg will be speaking at the summit. And can you also tell us how many member states, private sectors and NGOs will be attending the summit? Thank you.
Luis, do you want to?
Yes, Greta Thunberg is going to be attending. She's going to be participating both at the Youth Summit on Saturday and also at the summit on Monday, along with other youth activists. Let me emphasize that we have supported the participation of a large number of youth by providing support through the green tickets. I briefed you before about that. We provided support to 100 youth from different countries, and they would be joined by certainly a much bigger number of youth. Our expectation in terms of youth participation goes higher than 700 on the Saturday, and we will try to accommodate as many as possible within the General Assembly Hall on Monday. In terms of participation, well, all member states are invited to participate, and my expectation is that all will attend the summit. Some of them will attend at the level of head of state or a very high other high levels, but not all of them will be on stage, because as it was mentioned by the Deputy Secretary General, we have identified those with the higher levels of ambition, and we are going to try to accommodate those countries into the one-day session that we have. They need to make their presentation together with the presentation of the multi-stakeholder coalitions that I was referring a few minutes ago. We have 9 different teams under which initiatives are going to be introduced, plus initiatives presented on behalf of the LDCs and also of the SEEDs.
Can I just have a quick follow-up? Will anyone from the U.S. administration attend the summit?
Yes.
Thank you. Sherwin, then Nada.
Sherman Briceby, South African Broadcasting. You say yes, Mr. De Alba, but could you talk about the level of the degree of representation we're seeing from the United States? Are you satisfied that it's at the highest level that you would seek from one of the largest polluters in the world? And DSG, if I could ask you this question, you talk about the transition from coal to clean. You talk about no new coal plants from 2020, and yet if reporting is to be believed, African countries in particular are going to be bringing coal power stations online in the foreseeable to the medium future, medium-term future. What's your message then to African countries, given the development disparities that they also face?
Well, on the U.S. Participation, I can tell you that I have been advised. I still don't have a formal notification. I've been advised that a high-level official will represent the United States and a delegation will accompany them. But I cannot give you the...
So the President of the United States will be coming, right?
No. High-level delegation.
Okay. Well, we will always keep the door open for the President of the United States to come to the climate summit. That would be amazing. However, I think that what we do have is, a number of countries. This really is about demonstrating leadership on what is a climate crisis. And we cannot get away from that. The science is there. The SG has been very explicit about it and has visited where people are on the front line of this. So this is very real. And I think what we're really excited about is that countries have been putting forward their best foot. And it's not all countries. And I think that what we are using this summit for is where we are expected to see countries come in 2020 on enhanced NDCs. So it is that slingshot. We are saying that this is a springboard to 2020. We cannot leave it till 2020 because quite clearly this is urgent. And we have to support countries, understand the complexities of it, that it is not just that you write I agree that I'm going to own more new coal plants, and then the implications of that for you and your country and its development become quite enormous. Transitions are important, and I think that that's what we have to focus on. What sort of transitions have we got? Where are the timelines? Where is the ambition in that? And you're going to see a lot that is coming from countries to explain that. The SIDS package, for instance, what they are committing to. But it won't come to fruition if the financial systems don't open up and let them have the resources. Don't look at debt swaps. Don't look at what will help them to achieve the ambitions that they've said now they will do. Message to African countries. Quite frankly, what we need to see is people give alternative to coal. The investments in renewable energy and transitions out. Investments that stop any new coal plant coming online. And that's available. That's possible. And I think this meeting galvanizes the private sector, business, the financial systems to say what is and is not possible. I think we have gotten enough momentum right now that this becomes unstoppable. We have to follow it through. So it's about what we harvest at the summit and what we carry through to COP in Chile, what we carry through to the other events that happen next year, and in particular at COP26 in 2020 when the first target comes up to really look at the NDCs and how much ambition. Luis just talked about UNDP and UNFCCC launching two reports. And one is about the NDCs. And everyone signed on to an NDC. But the ambition of those NDCs gives us just over 3 degrees. How do we help them to become more ambitious in those NDCs to get them down to the 1.5? And that's the ambition that we're looking for. The other is, of course, even we as the UN, as UNDP, will be looking at what they intend to do with their footprint across the world. And so I think, you know, the best leadership I've seen so far is actually coming from young people. And we're very excited about that. Not only are we engaging with them, but they're having their say and they're moving forward with actions. And I think that that's something that we ought to take note of. The future is going to be very different. It will be about them, and they've started now and not tomorrow. And I think that that's what we have to galvanize to see how we can make that work at the country, how we can put pressure on those who need to bring bigger actions to the table, whether it's financing, no more coal, nature-based solutions, as we say, your needs and not your wants.
Thank you. Nada, then Sumini.
Hi, Nada Taufik with the BBC. Just us as journalists, as we're watching the climate summit on Monday, how will we know, you know, how the UN measures whether the event was a success or not? How are you measuring its success? And besides hoping for pledges for more renewable energy, phasing out coal plants, are there any other types of pledges that we can expect from countries that you're hoping for that you think will actually make a big difference?
I mean, without letting the cat out of the bag, right? Wait till Monday. I think what we are seeing is a lot more specificity to what people want to do and the kind of resources that actually unlocks or affects. So when someone is becoming more transparent about what they're doing and so you can look over their shoulder, there's more pressure for you to go green faster than you are actually doing so now. So the transparency of companies that are doing, that are signing on to things like that, that are managing huge amounts of assets, I think that that's encouraging. I think what is even more encouraging is finding the alternatives to lifestyles. You'll see a lot of that coming through. And these are multi-million or billion-dollar industries that will begin to change. And so while there's a lot more to be done after the summit, I think you'll begin to see new things coming about that are very much more specific about what we do. Less, honestly, less rhetoric and much more about what people can and will do. Inspiring more action to what we can do through across the world. And I think that that's what's really encouraging for us. How will we measure that? Well, certainly as the SG takes stock by the end of the day, you'll have a fairly good idea of how we've measured that. In the coming days and weeks as we go into COP in Chile, you will also hear from the climate movement, which won't stop at the summit.
Sumini, then Arthur.
Thank you. For the special envoy, please. Specifically, how many heads of state and government do you expect to make presentations on Monday? Also, do you think that the summit can deliver something that will satisfy the demands of the youth? And if so, what? And just a clarification from the Deputy Secretary General, is the Secretary General call still for no new coal projects starting in 2020 and no more state subsidies for coal projects? Because what I'm hearing from you today sounds a little different. So I just would like you to clarify, is that still the call? Because after all, state subsidies for coal far surpass subsidies for renewable energy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The precise number of head of state attended, I cannot give it to you right now because it's evolving. What I can tell you is that we will not be able to accommodate all of them on stage. They would be part of the summit. They would be attending, but a limited number is going to be on stage because of time constraints, because we have the presentations, as I mentioned before, from member states and also the coalitions. But we have been very careful in selecting those presentations that are the most ambitious, and in many cases you will have presentations that will be done on behalf of a number of countries. I can highlight, I already mentioned the presentation of the SEEDs and the LDCs. Some of the presentation may be done, just to mention one of them, on behalf of the SICA members, etc., because of the limitations on of time. But the level of attendance is very high, is very encouraging, and the quality of the plans that we expect to get on that day is also very, very encouraging. As you remember, the Secretary General wrote a letter to all leaders inviting them to come with plans, not with the speeches, and that was followed up by a description of a synthesis of what they intend to present. You will be able to see that on Monday, and I think if we take it certainly from the point of view that it's not going to be enough in any case, because a lot of work continues to be necessary to be made, but certainly it signals a very important step on the way that we need to go, that would be wonderful. Remember that the IPCC related report highlight the importance of these commitments in 2020 to be able to reach the goals of 1.5 and the effort that we'll need to continue, especially during the first decade.
Please.
Yeah. Just to clarify, no new on both cases, subsidies and coal plants. But I think in addition to that, we also want to see the transitions out. Find transitions out of the use of state subsidies and also from coal to renewables. So on the both. And this is, I mean, quite clearly, this is a tall hill to climb and pretty tough. But we will not relent on those calls. I think those are the ones that are required to respond to the climate crisis that we're looking at now. Someone asked about whether this was good enough for the youth. If I was a young person, I'd say no until it's done. And I think that this is what we are looking at, is that we've started this. Can we bend the curve by 2020 so that we are on that pathway to 1.5 degrees and that in the long term we can come to net zero emissions by 2050? Can we be on that right side of history? This summit will give us a really clear view of whether that's possible or not. And so far what we are seeing in terms of the engagement of young people, of business, of governments, is that this is possible.
Arthur, then Melissa.
Yes, it's a question for Special Envoy de Alba. First of all, on the speakers at Monday's climate summit, we've been told that the speakers will be given 3 minutes each. Can you confirm that? And secondly, beyond the countries that are participating, I just wondered if you had anything to add on the Reuters story from yesterday about 16 cities committing to implementing global goals to end poverty, inequality, and other challenges by 2030, specifically that they'll sign a voluntary declaration led by New York City. I was just wondering if you'd confirm that, elaborate on it, and if it was still at 16 cities or whether you expected more.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let me start with the time. We are precisely trying to adjust the presentations because there are many more requests than the ones we can have. But it, yes, it's probably that the maximum would be 3 minutes in order to accommodate the proposals. This is the result, as I mentioned, of the number of plans, not only speeches, but plans that are going to be introduced. And on the cities, I would prefer to wait until the Monday because there are a number of initiatives coming on behalf of the city.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.